1. Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's continuing 2022-2023 preseason content. I think I said that a few minutes ago.
Okay, let me know when we're about to start.
This is our SEC preview show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood.
Have we started yet?
Griggs and David Dorman up top here. John Slica and John Tytel below. All of our preseason content's up there on the top. Go to the season preview tab. You can find all of our preseason podcasts we've been recording. We've got a lot more to come this week and next week. But right now, we're going to talk a little SEC hoops and take a look at this season in a pretty interesting conference where we think we've got some pretty good teams at the top of the conference. And then a bunch of teams with new head coaches at the bottom of the conference is probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah. The top of the conference looks Final Four good, and the bottom of it looks a little bit like the Southland.
Oh, maybe not quite that bad. But we'll see. And let's get through. And well, Grace, let me start with you that, though. Kentucky last year suffered a pretty big upset in the tournament to St. Peter's. And as a result, or maybe not because of that at all, but the most important piece, Oscar Tshiebwe, decided to come back and give it another shot this year. How good is this Wildcats team?
Extremely good. I think, and this is just characteristic of college basketball in general, the last thing that happened is what is the most indelible. And I think people forgot how good Kentucky was last year because of the upset in the NCAA tournament. This is a team that went into Kansas and blew them out of the place. They went to Auburn, another protected seed, and were winning in the second half before sustaining an injury. Kentucky's good last year, when you look at the difficulty of the games that they won, was better than anybody else. I thought they were going to win it all. I thought that the games they had won were harder to win than most other people. The upset was ridiculous. Not that any other 2/15 wasn't, but I think that this was the biggest 15/2 upset ever. I said 2/15 is not an upset. It was astounding, but they're good. And I think people have kind of forgotten that. Now, another thing about Kentucky in a given year is that they finish the year going 100 miles an hour, but they typically start off going about 40 or 50 miles an hour. If you go back and look at their history, it's not uncommon to see them drop a game or two early in the season or struggle against a really good under the radar team, but later on around Christmas, they really kick it in the gear. So it wouldn't shock me if Kentucky dropped a game or two early and everybody else thinking, oh God, here we go again. This Kentucky team can win it all. They could have won it all last year. They're good. Despite losing to St. Peter's, I still think they were good enough to do it. I think that we saw that they were good enough to win it all when they went into Kansas, who did win it all and blew them out of the arena. They can win it all this year.
Tytel, do you agree with him? I mean, Ty Washington is gone. There are some pieces that are going off this team.
Yes, but I need to send it back to the puppet because you are 100% correct that they were good enough to win it last year. But the fact is they didn't. So I need to know why didn't they do it and what makes you think that they can do it this year based on last year?
Because they were good enough to win it last year. They just didn't. As far as why they didn't, I don't know. That
exactly.
If I knew the answer to that, had I explained to you before the St. Peter's game why they were going to lose it, what home would you have had me sent to?
All of them, because it wouldn't have made any sense. I agree. It's just the whole point is you can play a team 99 times, but the 100th time, anything's possible. And they were good enough, but it was just not their day. And Tshiebwe had an amazing game. It wasn't good enough. And they're going to be tested in the non-conference play this year.
Oh, they will be.
Michigan State, Gonzaga, Michigan, UCLA, Louisville, Kansas. They're playing the cream of the crop. And that should set them up well for March, but we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. And not that easy of a conference either, Dorman. When I look at the AP Top 25 preseason, not that I really look at it very hard, there are four other teams other than Kentucky in the Top 25, all ranked between 11 and 20. There's this group of four teams there that everyone seems to like beyond Kentucky. Is there someone specific that you're looking at as the second best team in this league?
I'm big on Arkansas this year. I think Musselman has every piece he could possibly need and want. I'm not the biggest follower of the recruiting and the recruiting trail, but from everything I've heard and from people that have seen him play in the gym, this freshman, Nick Smith, that Musselman has got to Fayetteville, is absolutely electric. They say this kid can do it all on offense and on defense. Musselman loves his pressure defense. They got other guards. They're big up front. They're athletic. I really think Arkansas this year is Final Four good.
Well, Dorman, could you tell me how many returning starters they have off of last year's team? I'll give you a hint. The answer is zero.
Well, yeah, zero. It is.
I mean, they're going to start. They're young. They're going to be young. I understand. But they got a lot of talent. And we've seen freshmen excel through college basketball as we get into February and March. So I get it. They're young. They're inexperienced. But the talent is there. Musselman's a fantastic coach. And I think he'll have them ready to go. And this team's dangerous.
Greg, you had a comment on it? Or
I'm just – yeah, a lot of people are big on Arkansas. And when you look at the recruiting rankings, it makes sense. It's just the one, I guess, apprehension I have before declaring them Final Four good is you don't really know how good of someone is going to be in college until you see them play in college. And I realize I'm not saying Arkansas will not be a top 10 caliber team. It's just that isn't who I would put my money on just yet until I see them play. By the way, they're playing Texas in a charity exhibition.
All right. We did that last show.
Yes, they're also in that. They're going to go to Maui. They'll definitely be tested. That'll get them up to speed. They'll get some good, hard, tough competition. And then I also believe they have Baylor in the SEC Big 12 showdown. So they got some out-of-conference opportunities there.
Yeah.
Salika, you want to talk about a team that does have players coming back, especially in the backcourt, which is so important? I want your comment on the first, then I'm going to Tytel as well. How about Auburn?
Auburn is a team that, like Kentucky, they did have an early exit in the NCAA tournament last year. Granted, they at least got to the second round before they ended up losing to the U in their regional. Now, as far as who the Tigers are bringing back, you're looking at Katie Johnson and Alan Flanagan and Wendell Green, but also keep an eye on their front court because they also added Janai Broome, who's going to be transferring from Moorhead. Now, keep in mind, Pearl and the Tigers, they did play Moorhead last year, so they did at least get a little bit of a early scouting report on Broome right here. So that should be a nice piece that they can add, hopefully take the next step and maybe get back to the Final Four for the first time since the pre-pandemic days, shall we say.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about Auburn, Chad, I just wanted to point this out. They did a foreign tour in Israel, and they played some, you know, a few games over there. But one of the teams they played was the national team, and they looked pretty good against a team with legit Eurobasket players. I was impressed with that they would do that on a foreign tour. Yeah.
Okay, but I just wanted to ask Tytel, though. I mean, Auburn has a lot coming back in the backcourt. I like their backcourt. Janai Broome, great OVC player. Does that translate to a great SEC player?
I think it – I know it can. I think it will. Pearl had Walker Kessler coming over from North Carolina, albeit a completely different situation in terms of a McDonald's All-American top 10 recruit going to play for a top 10 team and stuff. This is different. But we're talking 2021 Conference Rookie of the Year, 2022 Conference Defensive Player of the Year, set a school record with 131 blocks, fourth in the nation in double-doubles, and during the aforementioned tour of the Holy Land, he scored in double figures in all three games against top-level talent. I think the kid is going to do just fine in the SEC.
Griggs, how about Rick Barnes, who is he starting to build the same track record at Tennessee that he was building at Texas of we just can't win in the postseason?
maybe. It seems like, well, I mean, he did go to a Final Four at Texas. It seems like that they were just kind of wildly inconsistent, but I kind of like what they have this year. I know they went out a little bit early last year based on their seed, but like with all that talent coming back, I know that I'm the first one to pick on teams that continue to go out early and go out early and go out early. I've done it to teams like Creighton and in the Tennessee too. For some reason, I don't know why, I just think this year might be different for the Vols. I'm picking them higher than when I normally pick them, and I'm normally not a believer in Tennessee, but I really like them this year.
Well, the big question, Dorbash, about Tennessee is, do they even care about basketball right now after they beat Alabama in football? They've got Georgia coming up in 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. Did you see Tennessee's Midnight Madness? It was bananas. They were on the field. They turned the, yeah.
That was football. Yeah, don't worry, go ahead.
And before Georgia, they got Kentucky this week, so they better not be looking past them. Kentucky's not bad. No, they will not care about basketball in Thompson Bowling Arena until this is over, because they have legitimate playoff and national champion aspirations. So the answer to that is no. Basketball is in the back seat.
But with Viscavi and stuff back, this is a good team, though. I think we'll
all. Oh, yeah.
I expect this team to do very well all season long. They'll be in the top few spots in the SEC. And then the question will be, how can they do in March? Barnes has got to get they just seem to fall away from what they've done all year when it comes to March, whether it be the matchup or what they got going on. They need to do what they do all year and move and play the defense they have and exert the passion and the presence they are all year. For some reason in March, his teams always seem to lose that.
Yeah. They'll be sold out. Like, Tennessee does support basketball in a huge way.
The Crimson Tide. The question I think with him is, can they survive these first couple months until Quinterly gets back healthy, assuming that he's going to be back healthy, hopefully by SEC play, if not earlier. I don't know if there's any recent updates on him, but how about this Alabama team this year?
The reason they can survive is that they have not the best freshman in the conference. I agree, it's Nick Smith at Arkansas, but arguably the second best, Brandon Miller, 6'9". Alabama took an international tour this year as well. He averaged over 20 points a game as a freshman, playing for the first time with guys like he barely knows.
John, where'd they go? I'm sorry to interrupt, but where'd they go?
Man, that's not on my stat sheet, but a great question. So he was not just
I don't know the answer. Yeah.
He was not just the Tennessee Gatorade Player of the Year once, but twice, and somehow they couldn't keep him down in Tennessee. His dad played tight end for Alabama back in the 90s, so I assume that was a big reason, but I think he's going to be a lottery pick, and I think he's going to be a one-and-done, and I think he's going to get it done this year.
Stalika, we love Uncle Buzz here on Hoops HD. Yes. How about Texas A&M this season? They had a lot of wins last year, but it was in the NIT that they ran up a lot of them at late. Can this team be the big dance this year, and how good are they?
It was the best of times last year. It was also the worst of times. I know we as a selection committee like to say we don't like to take certain things categorically, but an 8-game losing streak for the Aggies ultimately may have done them in, despite putting together a frantic run in the SEC conference tournament. But we're not going to speak much about the NIT from last year, though. But if you're looking at who's going to be coming back for A&M, they only lose a couple guys from last year. They're still going to have Henry Coleman III, Wade Taylor IV, Tyrese Boots Redford I. So there is definitely going to be the potential for A&M to make the field this year and hopefully make it a couple rounds into the tournament this year.
Yeah, I think this might be Uncle Buzz's best team ever at A&M, Griggs.
For sure. Like, they were just total garbage the last couple, three or four years before that. So as good as they have been at times in the past, they had not been good in the last 3 years. To give you an idea, they were outside of the KenPom top 130 for the past 2 years, and last year they were 33rd. So a massive improvement. I know that they had some pitfalls. They missed the NCAA tournament. I think this is a tournament team. I think they're in the top half of the bracket wearing white.
Quick note here from Titel. that Alabama tour was Barcelona and Paris. So we got our great stats checkers on here. We got those answers.
Anything else you want to know, Puppet?
No, I was just wondering who they play. Like, Barcelona's got some really good teams.
I think
the Eurobasket champions came from there. So.
As we get past these top six teams of the conference, we start getting into the group of teams this conference that has all the new head coaches. And Tytel, I want to start with you because I think you had a chance to speak to one of the new head coaches today and ask you about this Mississippi State team.
I did. Chris Jans. I'll try to get it posted tomorrow on the site. Super nice guy. Fascinating resume. So back in the late 90s, in his second year as a junior college coach, he won a national championship. Then he goes to Wichita and was an assistant on that 35-0 team that lost at the buzzer to Kentucky back in 2015. Then he goes to New Mexico State and just wins conference title after conference title. He upset UConn last March, which was a big reason he got the job at Mississippi State. Cupboard's a little bare. They do have Tolu Smith, 6'11", averaged 14 points a game and shot almost 58% from the field. But a very nice guy, and I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but he's won everywhere he's went, so I think this is a good hire.
You're not thinking bubble team this year, though?
Maybe the AC8 bubble, but no, AC8. I don't think this is
AC8. Dorman.
He's a good coach. Dorman, I like him, too.
Another team with a new head coach, the Florida Gators and Todd Golden. Could he have a bubble team or an NCAA tournament team this year?
To me, yes, Chad. Florida is the one team with a new coach in this conference that's got the best shot at an at-large bid. The cupboard is not completely bare here. Mike White maybe got a raw deal. He is bringing in Kyle Lofton, who is a transfer from St. Bonnie's, who played, I think, for about 7 years at St. Bonnie's. But he brings to the team a stable presence, a point guard that has been there before. He's not going to get rattled in these hostile SEC environments. He'll be able to lead them on the floor, calm all the youngsters' nerves. And if there was one team with a new coach in the SEC going to the tournament, my money's on Florida.
Yeah, Colin Castleton back as well here on this Gators team. I agree with you. I like that pick to be at least a bubble team. Stalika, if we're talking new head coaches, how about Matt McMahon coming over from Murray State to LSU? Can he clean up this mess down there?
Well, let's hope the IARP doesn't end up hammering LSU. Although if you look at some of the past cases they've had, I don't expect that to be quite the case. But if you look at what McMahon has on the table right here, he was able to get a couple of his key players from Murray State to join the ship down in Baton Rouge. But they're probably going to need a lot more reinforcements and a little more time before they become a serious threat to anyone in the conference.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that. Tytel, there are a couple teams that do have coaches back, actually, that we did not discuss yet. One of them being Ole Miss and Kermit Davis's team. And this is a team that maybe I like to have Rocco on the show because I like to ask him about teams that I have no idea how to read going into the season. But I'm going to throw this question to you instead because he's not here tonight. I can't figure out this Ole Miss team heading into the season. I don't know if they're any good or not.
They are not, but okay. I mean, I like Matthew Morrell. He averaged like just a handful of points a freshman, tripled that to 12 a game last year, and he scored 25 against some team named Kentucky. So like decent, but I think that even though we have an established coach rather than a bunch of all the new coaches, I don't love the roster and I don't – the schedule is actually decent. They don't play a ton of top 50 teams in non-conference play besides Memphis on the road. So they can pile up some wins in November and December, but I don't think they're going to win a lot in January and February.
I'm just kind of looking for the team that may be able to be the best of this group on the bottom here. And I just kind of look at a team with a few players back here we'll see. I don't know that they're a tournament team. I don't think I'm going to claim that by any means. Griggs, let's stick with one other team that has a returning coach as Vanderbilt begins life after Scottie Pippen Jr.
Yeah, that is a big loss. This was a Vanderbilt team that I had no faith in at all last year. And while like making the NIT isn't exactly setting the world on fire. It was a hell of a lot better than what I thought they would be. And they went a few rounds into it. They're without him. I think they have, I think they returned three of their top six players or something like that. And they do have some pieces, and I'm not going to say that they're going to contend for a spot in the NCAA tournament, but I'm not going to totally dismiss them either. And I think that they can be better than a lot of the teams at the bottom of the league, and not, I don't think they're going to be the doormats. I don't mean this as a backhanded compliment, or I was legitimately impressed with Stackhouse and Vandy last year, because I just thought they were going to be terrible.
I'll kind of agree with you there. Dorman, we've got three other teams we haven't mentioned yet. Let's do them. Throw one of them out here at you. How about Mike White coming in to clean up the Tom Crean mess at Georgia?
John, what the hell was he thinking?
Quite a mess. One of the crazy situations in the coaching carousel last year. Hoops HD did not have Florida in our final projection, but there was bubble talk and bubble discussion. They were definitely in the mix, maybe. That happens on Selection Sunday. So Florida, Mike White's in charge. They don't get a bid. Before he goes to bed that night, he's the new coach at Georgia. It's an incredible situation of switching teams into the same conference, but he gets the job at Georgia. I don't think Florida gave him enough time. I think they were a little quick on the hook. They like Todd Golden. I understand why. He did great at San Francisco, but I think Mike White has a lot to offer. And in due time, I think he can get Georgia in this program in the right direction, but it's not going to be this year. There's not much left here outside of, I believe it's Terry Roberts, the guard. He can score a little. After that, it's not great.
Stalika, coming over from your state of Ohio, although the other side of the state there in Cleveland State, Dennis Gates moving over to Missouri. Your thoughts on Missouri this year?
Well, on the bright side, they're not going to be a Southland quality team. They're going to be more of a Horizon quality team. Granted, the Horizon was a tire fire last year compared to what they've been in recent years. But if you're talking about former Cleveland State players, they're going to be joining Gates over at Missouri. You're looking at DeMoy Hodge and Trey Gomillion. I mean, they would be decent pieces, at least on the Horizon level, but the SEC, you're hoping they're not going to be terribly overmatched. And we're not even going to talk about what the border war is going to look like this year.
It'll look very much like it did last year.
Yeah, that's going to be an ugly one.
Why did they ever resume that series? What a crap series.
Tytel, one team left. Let me throw them over to you here. Lamont Paris, I think it's a good hire for South Carolina, although, you know, we love Angry Frank, and he's gone now. But Lamont Paris coming over from Chattanooga. They do have G.G. Jackson, who's supposed to have, like, maybe there's a little bit of, you know, hints of life in South Carolina.
You thought Paris was only going to be mentioned on the Alabama International Sport tonight, but you get two mentions thanks to Coach Lamont. No, G.G. seems like a real deal. 6'9". Five-star power forward. He committed to the Tar Heels, reclassified, and signed with the Gamecocks. He's from Columbia, so I get it. He immediately signed an NIL deal with the Carolina Rise Collective, so I don't think that's a coincidence. But I've seen him projected as a lottery pick, so we're talking about a guy who could arguably be, like, the most important freshman in the history of the program, which is saying a lot. They've been playing basketball a while there, but he seems like he's the real deal.
Okay. On that note, though, I'm going to run through each of you now and ask you three questions. Number one, who's going to win this conference? The answer is Kentucky. Yes. Number two, how many bids out of this league? And number three, any other final thoughts for the night? And Stalika, let me start with you.
Well, I'm going to say that we'll probably end up with six teams right here that end up going to the tournament out of the SEC. I think Auburn could be a bit of a dark horse as far as finishing second behind Kentucky. But if we're going to go to final thoughts, I'm going to go ahead and stick with the Wildcats right here. It's been quite a tumultuous year within the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and I'm not talking about the St. Peter's game. I'm talking about some natural disasters that have unfortunately taken place across the state within the span of a year. You've had tornadoes in Mayfield and Bowling Green. There was also some serious flooding that took place over the summer in eastern Kentucky. And as it happened over the weekend, they actually had their annual blue and white scrimmage in, I think it was Pikeville, which is on the eastern end of the state. And another picture that's actually gone viral over the past 24 to 48 hours, there was one fan who had actually finished working at one of the nearby coal mines. He wanted to get there to be with his son, also see the actual game itself, but he didn't have any time to change his outfit. So one of the pictures that ended up showing up on Twitter was him and his outfit and also his face, which had been literally looking like he had just come out of a coal mine. So as soon as Calipari saw the picture, he had called up his wife and offered his family tickets to a future Kentucky game as one of their, I guess, VIP packages.
Yeah. Good story there.
Yeah. Dorman, let me go to you. Same three questions.
I have six teams from the SEC that will get bids to the tournament. My champion, as much as I do like Arkansas, is I'm going with Kentucky. And my final SEC thought is it possible that I actually think Kentucky is underrated going into the season? I think Tshiebwe is that good. He can dominate down low. He did things last year, and I know it's Kentucky, so it's not really like low key or anything, but like, I don't even think he got enough publicity for what he was doing. If they can handle the guard play and they can hit outside shots consistently and they can limit the turnovers and let Oscar do what he can down low and play defense, I think Kentucky can win a title this year.
Can win the title. All right. Tytel, same three questions.
I'm setting the over-under at 6.5, and I'm taking 6. Ooh. I think Kentucky, Tennessee, Auburn, Arkansas, Alabama are in easily. As far as the 6, I think I'm going to go with Uncle Buzz. I like what they did last year. I know they lost a lot, so a big question mark. As much as I don't like Florida with the first-year coach, I don't like LSU with the first-year coach. Like, there's just too much uncertainty there. As far as who wins it all, I think Kentucky, but I'm telling you, do not sleep on Arkansas because they're using the Kentucky formula, which is bring in like 3 McDonald's All-Americans, throw them out there, and by the end of the season, hopefully they're playing like lottery picks. As far as the final thoughts, we already talked Phillies last time, so we got to talk about Tshiebwe this time. And he had such an amazing year, as has been said. First SEC player to ever be the unanimous National Player of the Year. Not Shaq, not Anthony Davis, it was Tshiebwe. Led the country in rebounding, set a school record with 28 double-doubles. And the reason I'm showing you Ralph Sampson here of Virginia, where's Joby when we need him, is because Ralph is the last person to be National Player of the Year in consecutive seasons. He did it 3 times in a row, 81, 82, 83, and nobody's done it for 30 years. I don't know if Tshiebwe is going to do it, but I think he's going to do it. He's that good. It's not just the rebounding. He can score, and he steals and blocks. Like, he does everything. And he's going to be the focus of the offense with all the young guys around him. So, Ralph, move on over because I think you're going to have some company.
There we go. All right. I completely agree with you on the pick to win this conference and on the 6 teams. I think Florida is that 7th bubble team. If you're calling the 6.5, Florida's going to be the team. But I think they're on the outside. So I agree with you on that. But, Griggs, let me go to you here for your answer to the 3 questions.
I'm also picking Kentucky to win the league. I'm taking them as a bit of a dark horse here, going out on a big, big limb there. I think it's going to be Kentucky. I also think it's going to be 6 teams. I think Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, and Auburn are all good enough to get protected seeds. I don't know that all of them will, but I think all of them are at least in a position to contend for one. And I think Uncle Buzz at A&M is good enough to get into the top half of the bracket. After that, I think that there is just the gap between the 6th and the 7th team, whoever the 7th team is ridiculously large. I just think that there is not much of a decline. It's just a complete cliff between teams that are into the top half of the bracket and teams that I'm not even sure we're going to see in the NIT or anywhere close to it. And do I have a final thought? I rarely have thoughts. charity exhibition, Arkansas, Texas. I'll say that. Watch and donate if you can. It's for a good cause.
On that note, as Griggs just gave us the same final thought, two podcasts in a row, you can go back and watch our Big 12 show if you want to see the same thing again.
Yeah. It's a Big 12 team.
All our preseason content is up to there on the season preview tab, as well as the podcast we'll be recording later on this week as well. I think next ones up are going to be the Big 10 and the Pac-12. But on behalf of David Griggs, David Dorman up top here, John Sleek and John Titel below, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.